Okay, so Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So here's this idea, is that the truth about Jesus, we can share it with each other. And we're here today because Jesus is alive and well, and we want to see him, right? And so when we worship, it's really about putting our focus on Jesus. And so today as we do these different things, all the things come together to try to point our hearts to Jesus so we can respond to him, right?
We're going to continue and stay in this place here and hear what God has done for a couple of one of our brothers and sisters, Zach and Lauren here. So we're going to pay attention to the screen here.
Almost 5 years, and we started coming to Maywood consistently at a time in life when we were trying to rebuild our family after both of us having suffered the devastation of divorce. And we found in Maywood a place that was really welcoming and safe for our family.
Yeah, I felt like there's a lot of people here who are trying to put the pieces of the puzzle back together. It's a place where we felt like we fit in and weren't being judged for what we've been through.
Zach and I were attending Maywood for quite a while in a way that I would call under the radar. We were asked to consider being part of Kingdom Kids and being in the children's ministry. And I like to say there are no two people who are more miscast in the role of Sunday school teachers. Connie Beckler, who runs Kingdom's Kids, warned us, "You will fall in love with these children." And she was so right. We've made such rich relationships with the kids, all the kids, not just our own daughter. And we are learning, I think, so much more from them than they are learning from us.
It really has been this rewarding experience of connecting with these kids. And we've talked about, even in a way, reliving our own childhoods of coming to Sunday school and the roles that our Sunday school teachers played in our lives at that point in time. So it's kind of fun to see things come full circle and see the way we're hopefully having a positive impact on those kids.
Getting involved with the children's ministry has been so rewarding for me because it has helped me remember and relate back to stories that I learned as a child. We don't always know the seeds that we plant and how those will pay off. You know, these are lessons I learned decades ago, and they're coming back to me now in a way that's really meaningful. I just really appreciate that is 1 hour every week that is so different from the time that we spend in the rest of the week and so different from our career lives. That's 1 hour that we are really outside of our own heads and focused on other people and their needs. And that, I think, has been really helpful for us. And that has given us a perspective that's been helpful in our Christian journey.
Growing up in church and, you know, families that had been married for decades, and, you know, there was a lot of expectations and stereotypes, at least of what I thought, you know, perfect looked like. And then finding myself in a situation where I was going through divorce felt very imperfect and really challenged my even understanding of who I was, and really felt kind of cut loose and adrift for a long time in that. And I think that's what's been a beautiful thing about Maywood for me personally, is everybody here has a story of something that they have been through, and these stereotypes, these expectations are just narratives we put on ourselves. But what really matters is the story of Jesus and being redeemed through the cross, and, you know, what's broken being made new again. And that is really what I have experienced and grown in Maywood with.
I felt so grateful that God gave us the opportunity to find love again in each other. And yet he humbled us through that experience because it was really hard. And I was made a stepmother in that process, and that came with its whole set of challenges. So kind of our marriage mantra has been stay in the light. That has been reinforced for us in so many different ways, in so many moments, big and small, at Maywood. And especially, you know, on Easter Sunday, just that notion of stay in the light. Sunrise is coming, morning is coming, and staying on the path that Christ has chosen for us.
What I think I would tell somebody who finds himself in a difficult season, what I would have wanted to hear when I found myself in a difficult season, comes from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart."
A verse that means a lot to me that kind of speaks to my experience in Maywood is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And I really feel that way about Maywood, that as we have tried to stay in the light, we are now in a place where we are in fellowship with others to try to keep that path on our journey. I'm Lauren Palmer, and this is my story of light.
I'm Zach Walker, and this is my story of authenticity.
So we're just going to stay right in this place of worship, and feel free to have a seat. We're going to listen to what God has done in one of our sister's lives, Teresa, and we're going to hear from her now.
I'm from León, Guanajuato, Mexico. 95% of the family are all Catholic. I went to church every Sunday. I prayed the rosary. I did my Holy Communion. I went to confession. And I did all the rituals that they require you to do. I had a strict father. We all learned English. And he said, you speak English in school and Spanish at home. And what he said went. And he was the law, and we had to obey him. When I was 25 years old, a lady came to visit me with her husband, Phyllis and John Diaz. They went to Tri-City Baptist Church. Sometimes I would go, other times I wouldn't go. But I was Catholic, baptized a Catholic. Once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And I would die a Catholic, so I thought. After going to church with John and Phyllis Diaz, it sank into my head. I was a sinner and I needed a savior. It was either sink or swim, heaven or hell. And I kept on hearing, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. I would kneel and almost cry, asking God to show me the truth. I didn't know who to believe in. So I said, you show me if you are for real. I want the truth. Reveal it to me in some way. One day soon after that, I was at home alone, pregnant with my son Juan. I slowly knelt down in my living room and asked Jesus to come into my heart. The wind blew my front door open, a big, hard wind, and I felt chills all over my body, and I felt very happy. I have never been the same since then. Now that I'm saved, I think about God all the time. All the time. It never quits. And I know I'm converted to God because he did that to me. I didn't do it to myself. He's the homemaker. I'm the worker in there. I'm always asking him. A lot of times I invent a lot of food and it comes out real good and I have to write it down so I could remember it. We always had people over when I was at home and I enjoyed their company. Friends from church or friends that I know from school, they like to learn how to cook the Mexican way from Mexico. Hospitality is a way that you know how to treat your people, your company when they come to your house. You invite them over, you're gonna eat, you're gonna make them feel at home and talk about just anything, especially the Lord. I want them to feel welcomed in my home and enjoy the food that they eat. That's what's important for me. The peace that passes all understanding, I never experienced that until I was saved. One of my favorite Bible verses is Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I ask Jesus to come into my heart, and I know where I'm going when I leave this world, and I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. When I die, I won't die. I'll just live more, that much more in his presence. And I know that when I die, I'll be more alive up there than down here. I won't have any defects or sins. No more insulin, no more medicine, no more heartaches, no more headaches, no more nothing of that. My name is Teresa Terrazas, and this is my love story.
We're going to continue to worship, and we're going to listen to see what God has done in CJ's life.
I was in Kansas City, Missouri, and that's where I was at for the first 3 years of my high school career. And then I graduated from William Crispin. Fast forward a little bit, I had my first apartment out here. And I was going through some little different things or whatever. I started feeling kind of lonely. I've been neglecting my faith. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been going to church. I haven't really been praying outside of grace over my food. Anyway, I had the bright idea of hanging out with a den of meth heads that stayed up under my first apartment. Somebody told me if you go to the barbershop enough times, you're gonna get your hair cut. And eventually I got my hair cut. And that's what started my relationship with methamphetamine. I say I was probably like 20, 21 when I first tried it. I'm 28 now. I've put it down and picked it up a few times since then, but it wasn't until 2022 that I had ever heard about recovery or 12 steps, NAAA. That's around that time is when I discovered those things and start kind of mixing my faith and my recovery together. It wasn't so much me white knuckling or faking it. It was just hard to stay consistently clean when I first got back out here. It was just hard. It was difficult. I was very interested in finding maybe a new church home and finding some place to kind of get back into recovery and maybe get a spot, maybe some sponsorship. And Joseph had left an impression on me when we talked. There was a guy named Ryan that had been coming here for a while, and I was in research psychiatric with him like a couple times. So I was like, oh, okay, you go to this church? I immediately, it's a familiar face, you know. When I got out of rehab, I went to the hospital because the voices, I needed to get some medication for the voices. Then I heard about the Good Foundation. And with the Good Foundation, it's mandatory to come to Maywood. So that kind of worked out. Nobody was making me be sober. I was just trying to do it on my own. And when I hear white knuckling, I think of doing something you don't want to do. And to me, it's more so just, it's me versus me, and I was losing the fight against me. When I was first having to go, like, to Bible study, and sometimes even church as a whole, like, I wasn't feeling it, I just had to. But as time passed, I think my heart softened. And then also, God started to speak to me on my own when I was reading the Bible. For the biblical principles are there to help me. They are good, you know what I'm saying? They are good. As I start going throughout life, every now and again, you know, I might be experiencing some, or I might be listening to somebody talk, and then the scripture will come to mind that will apply to it. So for me, that's where like the growth started coming in, as I made it a point to like keep reading the Bible, keep praying. James chapter 1, verse 2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Meaning by the time I'm done being patient with whatever, by the time the gratification has been delayed so long, by the time I get to that end, like my character will be what it needs to be for me to live for God consistently, and to be joyful and like being mindful about like, okay, there's something bigger than me that's on my side. Or, you know, there's something bigger than me that can help me. Actually genuinely believe in that. So to me, it's like, when I say God speaking to me, I'm thinking like the Holy Spirit, or just guidance. Like, son, you have authority. You have power in you. You don't have to be a victim of life. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be a victim of time. You can be proactive in your salvation, and you can be proactive in your happiness, you know? You can be happy. You can be joyful. You know, I don't want you to be miserable. You know, he's like, I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you sad. I don't want you to think real bad of yourself. I want you to see you how I see you, and I love you. I really do. I'm CJ Robinson, and this is my journey of getting connected.
There's a lot that we've already experienced just through what people have shared. The real thing for us in this moment, Jesus is here. But the thing of importance for you, whether up in the balcony or whether down right here, is, are you experiencing Jesus? And I'm going to declare who Jesus is. Straight from Colossians, right? Straight from the Bible. It's going to tell us who Jesus is. Then we're going to pause, and it's going to talk a little bit about us. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I do think we have the passage. If you wanted to look at it, you could pull it open in your Bible. It's Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. But the reason I didn't put it up on the screen is what I'm actually going to ask you to do, if you're up for it, is while I'm reading it, I'm going to read it pretty slow. I'm not going to insert Jake Taylor ideas into the middle of it. If you don't understand all of it, you're probably actually in the right spot, because it's telling us about who Jesus is. And if you're reading it and you're thinking like, yeah, I know this, then you're about as far away from it as you probably can be, right? So I'm just going to tell you what it says, and then we'll talk about it. But if you're here, I don't know that we need our physical eyesight in this moment. If I were you, and I'm going to coach you for a second here, I'd close my eyes, and I would try to open up to, like, Jesus, are you real? Just like Teresa did, just like others have done. Like, Jesus, I want to know if you're real. Here's Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything Jesus might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We're told there that Jesus is before all things. Jesus isn't created. He is God's Son. He's begotten. He's of God. He's the fullness of God. And in fact, all creation was done through Jesus. That everything exists not only through him, but for him. And that is a big and unimaginable as that as he is, he came down into the dirt and the mire and was tortured cruelly and unjustly, nailed to a piece of wood to die. That's who Jesus is. And also, right in the middle, told us he's the firstborn from among the dead, right? He's the pioneer. As Christians, we don't worship someone who's dead. We don't worship a hero who just died for us. We worship Jesus who is alive for us as well. And if you are experiencing Jesus right now, there's one of two or maybe a combo going on in your heart. When you see Jesus, you either just totally forget about yourself, and you're thinking about how amazing he is. And it's easy for selfishness and fear and doubt to kind of fall away in that moment, right? Or there's another response if you're really seeing Jesus that's not bad, even though it doesn't feel as good. And that's the response to think like, man, I don't deserve Jesus. I feel terrible about that thing, whatever that thing is, right? Whether it was just being cruel to your sister, or whether it had to do with something you don't want to even say in this room, right? Because when we really see Jesus, we either forget about ourselves, or we see the truth that on our own we're not good. So the same passage is going to tell us about ourselves. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The promise that we have because Jesus rose from the dead, because he died for you and he rose again, is that God can make us holy. What is holy? Holy is set apart, special, useful, and able to be close to God, right? Think about yourself and think about being that sort of person. You could be useful and special and right there next to God. If you were one of those people feeling ashamed when we were reading about how good Jesus is, there's this promise that through Jesus you can be useful, special, and connected to God the Father. And he goes on to describe it with two more things, right? Without blemish, totally pure, and free from accusation. Some of us have got this thing running in our head about how terrible we are and how we deserve meth or whatever else it is, right? We deserve pain and mess, right? The truth in Jesus is holiness, purity, and freedom to stand next to Jesus and have nobody come and be able to slam anything against you, right? That's what he wants for us, right? As soon, I mean, we were reading about it downstairs if you're in that class, as soon as we're coming to Jesus, no matter what we've done, he's willing to show us grace. He's willing to show up and be there right next to us. And he's also willing to love us enough to say, stop sinning. Stop doing that stuff, right? And that's where the if you continue comes into place, right? Jesus doesn't have us fix ourselves before we come to him. We come to him, and because we have our faith that he's real, we do the next thing he's telling us to do. And all that is fueled by this hope that we have that Jesus is real. That's what you got to bring to the table today. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to hope that all this stuff I'm hearing about Jesus is real. I'm going to let that hope turn into faith. What is faith? Faith isn't controlling your own thoughts. Faith is doing the next thing that Jesus told you to do because you trust his way over your way. That's what faith is. That you trust God. You're not going to be perfect at it at the start, but you trust him to say, I'm going to do it his way, not my way. We bring that to the table over and over again. He's going to untwist all the junk inside of you. Last week I told a story about being scared, but Jesus pushing me to do something I didn't want to do. Jesus didn't need my help to reach out to that other kid, right? Jesus wanted me to get over my own mess and my own fears, and so he graciously used me with that other kid, right? When Jesus asks you to do something you don't want to do, it's so you can become the person that you want to be, right? We got something amazing coming up here in a minute. We got a baptism. Bree's daughter Myla is going to get baptized. But before we do that, we got an opportunity for anybody in the room today who's like, man, I heard all those testimonies and I don't have a story with God. I've never really taken that step with God. What does that step mean? It means you show up and you say, you know what, Jesus? I want to try it. I want to act like you're real. I want to give my hope to you. And here at Maywood, man, we were trying to figure stuff out. We are all broken. We all got our messes, right? But one thing we've learned is that, like, we need each other. And so here's what we're going to do here in just a second. I'm going to put up this next slide up here. I'm going to ask people who say, like, I want to get started with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And we're going to get you started with Jesus before you leave this room. What does that mean? Well, when you stand up here in a second, if you want to do that, we're going to partner you up with somebody. It's It's another Maywood person. They're not a hero. They're not a superstar. But they've gotten a start with Jesus. And what is that person going to do with you? They're going to talk with you about how can you talk to Jesus right now. How can you say to Jesus, I'm sorry that I've done something wrong. And Jesus, I want to live my life with you. I want to do things your way. And then what's going to happen? Well, we don't have it all figured out, but here's our best idea. Is how about the next 3 weeks, you read about Jesus and you talk to each other on the phone each day. The Gospel of John, if you were here at the early service, we got to worship with four other churches. But all those pastors from those other churches were quoting from John. Because John has all these statements from Jesus about who he is. So at the end of that 3 weeks, then you can see, like, how's it going with you and Jesus? You got a connection with somebody at Maywood? You've read for yourself what Jesus says about himself? Jesus is going to show up if you bring that to him, right? And some of you might be here and be like, well, that's scary stuff, right? Like, I was hoping to feel a little bit better when I left today. I don't want to stand up in front of a crowd. I don't want to talk to somebody I don't know. I don't want to get phone calls from somebody with a tattoo on their face or whatever it might be, right? You know, like, here's the reality of following Jesus, is Jesus is going to keep asking you to do things that are uncomfortable but are really good for you, that are actually better than you deserve. That guy with the tattoo on his face, him loving you, is an act of grace, honestly, right? You know, I mean, like, I get treated so well by people that I don't deserve to get treated well by, right? So, I mean, but you might not see it yet, right? But we're setting you up right from this isn't a bait and switch, right out of the gate. You're going to have to do something that's uncomfortable, but it's good for you. And it's going to keep coming. And over time, you're going to be a different person. And if you're here today and you're like, I want to be a different person, then this is for you, right? So, without further ado, like, we're not going to pump you up. I'm not the one to, like, get you all sales pitched up or something, like, but just do you want it? So if you want it, like, stand up right now and say, like, I want that. I want to get started with Jesus. So, and if you're going to pray with somebody, hang on just a second. If you're somebody I already talked with, sorry, because you guys are jumping the gun on me a little bit, I think. But if you want to get started with Jesus, stand up. We'll get you started with Jesus. Yeah, nice, okay. Good stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal. I did talk to a few folks ahead of time, and we're going to team up guys with guys. And I think that's who we got standing right now. So if you're one of those people I talked with ahead of time, if you would just right now go stand next to one of those people that stood up, because they're going to lead you through what to do next, okay? And if we got too many, that's okay, but make sure everybody's got a partner here, okay? We got one guy in the back. I think Joseph, Russ, we got multiple people heading that way. Two guys, yeah, so good. Praise Jesus, guys. So here's the deal. If you're just now standing up, yeah. We got some ladies that just stood up. Katie and maybe some of our other ladies, if you can go team up with them, that's good. And then we got the other Katie over here, it's great. So, and here's the deal. There's nothing like any time of day this sort of thing can happen. If you get home later today and you're like, I wish I would have stood up. Find somebody else who was in this room and talk to them, right? If you aren't standing right now, I'm going to have the hopeful guess that you already know Jesus. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. Is when in the next 3 weeks, when you think of these people, maybe even look at one of them right now and pray for that person when you think of them. Pray for this partnership that's happening right now, right? In just a minute, Eddie is going to get up here, talk to us about baptism. We're going to do a baptism. For those of you that just stood up, doing this stuff right here, calling your friend every day, reading the Gospel of John, that's your first step. Baptism's right around the corner, right? Talk to us about that, right? Baptism is just saying, like, I got a new life with Jesus, okay? So if you guys partnered up, make sure you talk to each other. You guys can stick around for the baptism if you want, but don't leave the room without praying and sharing phone numbers with each other, right? So I'm going to invite Eddie to come up. I'm going to say a prayer as Eddie is coming up here. Jesus, I thank you for new life. I thank you that you never stop working. And I thank you that today people are finding new lives. So I pray you would bless the folks that stood up. with a connection with you, and I pray you bless the people that are partnered with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, good morning. Wow. Hang on a second. Let me dry my eyes here for a second. Really emotional this morning. My name is Eddie Moss. Myself and my wife, who is backstage, are the facilitators of the baptism class here at Maywood. This is the next step. If you are one of those people that has said, yes, I want to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, this is the next step. Jesus, when Jesus walked this earth, Jesus is the physicality of God.